Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You guys can see me at Crackers Comedy Club, Indianapolis.
Racist.
Crack-a-lackers. Indianapolis at the Broad Ripple Club, October 10th through 13th. And then San Diego, October 19th through 20th at the Madhouse Comedy Club.
Ooh, the
that
Madhouse.
Sounds like a new place. Have you done
Madhouse.
That one yet?
What a crazy name for a comedy club.
Where's that one?
San Diego.
Oh, they got a club down there?
There's got a few. There's now. Also the American Comedy Company, where they put you at a hotel that just fucking parties.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's like a club.
Is that
upstairs.
Good or bad at our age?
It's pretty awful.
It's funny, like, it's the same hotel where, like, it's like a, it's kind of like a Sunset Strip type of hotel. Like, it's the happening, cool hotel. And if you talk to comics who are single, who've done this club, they go, hey, how about that hotel? Is that the best fucking thing ever? Like, that's
right,
what they
right,
lead
right,
with.
Right.
And then, like, we went down and, like, in the same
goddamn
conversation.
Kids, they're up all night.
we're exactly like, wasn't that the worst thing ever? And everybody's like, what are you talking about? We're like, dude, you couldn't sleep. You couldn't fucking, like, you, like, and then they're just like, everything cool? Like, the hotel just wants to make sure you're not bothered because they know it's a hotel that's bothersome.
Right.
Like, so their whole, like.
Now, they probably see you coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, get ready for the complaints.
Yeah. And then if you we accidentally open the jar of jelly beans that's there, that's like $20 jelly beans,
oh, yeah.
too.
All right. Yeah.
Not to cause hostility, but how do you accidentally open a jar
of
jelly
drunk.
Beans?
Well, you're drunk. You come home drunk, and you're like, oh, they gave us these free jelly beans. And you open it up, and then you get the bill.
Why did you think they were free?
I don't know. I just assume.
You have to.
All these treats for me?
You have to take responsibility for your actions.
No, you're right.
Because hotels always hook up.
I accidentally killed somebody. I was drunk. Dude, you know, there was somebody in the episode I did this week where they were talking about how in their sleep they would, like, start having sex with their girlfriend. And I just was laughing through all of it, thinking it was ridiculous and that they were just making it up, trying to make me see. Like, I almost started crying. I was laughing so hard reading it and saying it was ridiculous. So somebody just sent me a link saying allegedly there was some guy who was totally asleep, got up. While asleep, got in a car, drove it down the street without hitting anything, killed somebody, and then went back to bed, had no memory of it, and allegedly got away with it because he was asleep.
Yeah. I've heard of these stories before. I've heard different.
You're not asleep. If you're asleep, you can't drive a car.
And they have no recollection. Zero. They claim, right? Like, I've heard the people as little as, like, mundane things like, oh, I went to the bathroom, I got something to eat, killed spouse. Had sex with somebody, and then I've also heard of the murdering.
So is their eyes are closed?
No, their eyes are open.
Yeah, you're awake.
Yeah.
Okay, you're awake. It's solved.
Yeah.
You're awake.
Right. Yeah, that is a good way. That would be the best trial ever to have Bill cross-examine the guy. Your eyes were closed? Like, no. All right, you're awake.
You're awake. No further questions.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm sleeping, my eyes are closed. That's how you usually tell. If I'm laying there, you know, driving a car or on a jet ski, that usually means I'm awake.
I was jet skiing asleep, man. My eyes were open, but I was asleep. All right, this weekend, you can see me at the Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's October 4th, 5th, and 6th. And 2 weeks from then, I will be at the Winnipeg at Rumors.
Rumors.
I heard you were funny. Rumors Comedy Club. Another great name. I'm sorry. I think my first week got bumped because somebody booked television gig.
Wow.
Hello. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll give you more information later on that. So, and then first
that's
week.
That's the hole, just in case I get cut out.
Exactly. Yeah. The first time I did something on TV, I like posted it. I was like, check me out tonight. And they cut every line except when I was like, what? They used that. So everybody was like, and I was like,
mortified.
Oh, it was terrible. People were like, hey, I DVR'd that. Like, that was awesome. The way that you were like, what? That was a really cool line. I was like, I'm never.
Yeah. No, that's that just the rookie thing. You gotta learn that
one.
Yeah. Mm. And then also people, I love when people email you and just be like, you know, you should get bigger roles.
That's the best.
Yeah.
You weren't even funny in that. I like that one too. like there's no serious moments in my life. Therefore, right. I can't play anybody who's
or
serious.
Or like you're in charge of whether or not to be serious in a production that hired you. You're gonna be like,
you should
no,
just,
I want to be funny.
You should
right
just
here.
Gone off. Yeah. You should just gone in there and gone off. Yeah, that's a good. That's a good move. Yeah.
Wait. So where can people see you? This weekend.
This weekend, I am at Go Bananas in another great name.
Great name, and that is for real. One of the best clubs in the country.
I love Go Bananas.
Yeah,
that's in Montgomery, in Ohio. Montgomery is, of course, in the greater Cincinnati area. Hands down, one of my favorite clubs.
Yeah, I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday, hanging around for the Bengals Dolphins game.
Are you a Bengals fan?
No,
I'm
a big sports fan.
Yeah, I know you like sports.
Yeah, so I'm going to see them 2 weeks in a row. I won money off them last week, $50, but then I gave it back at night on the Giants-Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Giants just will always break my heart. They're either beating my Patriots in the Super Bowl, or I bet them and they lose. I should know better. I should bet them in the playoffs.
The NFL is the most inconsistent league. Like when you see what can happen in the NFL, it's because you're basically looking at 32 teams of guys that, you know, are capable of turning it on because they're pro athletes.
Right.
It's not like in college you're
better off. How do they get the spread perfect every week?
I don't fucking know, man. It's unbelievable.
There's too many guys in the NFL to fix it. Like, how do you do it?
It's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable who can disappoint you. Like, because you don't see that level of disappointment and surprise usually, like I'm saying, in like college ball. It's
wouldn't
not,
you say, Christina?
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. It's all like right. You're speaking Chinese.
Do you
Chinese.
Understand? Like, this happens to me every time I hang out with a couple.
Yeah.
Is the woman always ends up getting bored out of her mind.
All right.
Well, because I grew up, you know, I have four brothers and a sister. My sister didn't come along till later. So, like, even the dog was male. So, I just, every subject I talk about.
Dude subjects.
Not even. If we were dudes, we would actually play. I'm like nerdy. Hey, did you watch these guys? Did you watch them do manly stuff?
I could talk football 24 hours a day.
Oh, God. Can we not do it on this podcast?
No, I'm making that point
that, like, I don't get to enjoy happiness.
I know. Right. Sorry. Right. Come over more and you guys can talk.
What's going on in the Real Housewives of Miami?
I don't watch the Housewives. I do watch Breaking Amish. Do you watch that one?
Hey, no. That's not cool. Breaking Amish is fucking.
Well, I know there's scandal on that show. Right now.
Why?
We'll get into it. Well, let's start the show.
Multiple wives.
We haven't even started our show.
This is all pre-show. We haven't even started our show.
Look at his face.
This doesn't count.
He's so angry. No, it counts.
It's on the show.
I say.
But here's the actual.
Okay, are you ready?
This is how the show opens.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Not to mention Dancing Electric and all the other fucking bills. The fuck I did it while you and the kids got in the car and went swimming and shit. Yeah, that's right. I was here fucking working.
Why am I the problem, though? Because you can't work.
Is your... That's the whole thing here. Because you're punishing your husband because your husband can't work no more.
No, I'm not.
The fuck you're not.
No, I'm not.
What do you call it, then? What do you call this?
What I like to do.
What you like to do. Aggravate the fuck out of your husband. That's what you like to do.
Just like you did, playing big.
Plain and simple, Ace. Anybody can tell you.
Go ahead, Tom. Make him have heart attacks.
I don't give a shit. Make me have a heart attack. My temples are throbbing. I got high blood pressure and all the other crap. Do you care?
Go move with your mother and father. You don't pack your own.
Go move my mother. Well, let me tell you something. When I leave here, yous all go. The house gets sold. And good luck to you, Miss Big Mouth, where you're going to go.
Go anywhere.
How are you going to live here? This house is my fucking name, dear. My fucking house. You asshole. You threaten me, dipshit.
You like that? There won't be no food in the house.
Good. Thanks for making me burn the fucking shit out of you. Thanks a lot, Lise. Fucking bitch. You want to see pissed off? I'll fucking show you pissed off. Burnt the fuck out of my fucking sandwich now because of you and your asinine.
This shit is big time.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mama in the fucking stand.
No
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitsky.
Welcome to your mom's house.
What was that audio from?
Was that Bill Burr? It sounded like
that. That was from Bill's new special. You can get it at BillBurr.com. That was a kid videotapes his mom and dad like secretly arguing at home, and then he posts videos of his dad basically yelling on YouTube.
Why would he do that?
Because he thinks
just to get hits on your. You know what it is? The technology that kids have, they don't understand the damage that they're going to be doing.
Oh yeah. I think he hates his mom and dad, though.
I think well, so did I. I mean, who didn't at that age? You thought you knew everything, and he doesn't realize, like, you know, when I get married, I'm never going to argue. I'm going to treat her like a princess. It's like, no, this is, you live with anybody.
Yeah, you're gonna argue.
If you live with Jesus at some point, you know, where were you? Out there doing miracles, as I'm here cleaning it up. Right?
Absolutely, you guys. You know, you could really argue with Jesus.
Don't out your parents.
Well, I agree. I wouldn't do that shit.
Should we even tell our guests, our listeners, who is
guys,
here today?
I think they figured it out. But just so people know, William Jefferson Burr is sitting right
named
across
after two presidents, William Taft and Thomas Jefferson.
Bill Burr
and Raymond Burr,
the great Bill Burr. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
This is exciting on many different levels. Well, first of all, we'll say that it's really exciting that you have, again, a new special.
Yes, sir.
And people can go and get it at BillBurr.com.
It's the only place you can get it. That's
only
right.
Only place you can get it.
And
$5.
Pay $5.
You download, what, an hour and change, something from, I'm sure it's...
Oh, how long the special is?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know. I think it's like a little over an hour.
Tight 20?
Yeah, like
speaker set.
Oh, because I put it out myself now. Yeah, you can get away with doing a 20-minute special, 20-minute hour-long special. No, it's about a little over an hour. I shot at the Lincoln Theater in Washington D.C. and it was I pushed myself to try to improve from my last one, and I did in certain areas, but I also was trying out. Like those one-way conversation things was something that I wasn't able to do on stage, so I'm just beginning to learn how to do those. So
that's incredible. Isn't that funny that, like, you know, people? I mean, it's not a secret. I know you're a modest guy, but like comics really.
I'm an egomaniac.
People,
I can't believe I'm able to fit in this room.
Admire you because you know you're a really good comic. You're very accomplished, but somebody at your level still is trying to be like, I'm trying to improve. I'm learning stuff, and you don't hear. I mean, I know comics that are. Not haven't done any specials and don't think in terms of how can I improve? How can I?
No. Oh yeah, no, you got to look at it like sports. Like if you can't go to your left, you got to learn how to go to your left.
Well, and before we started this podcast, Bill was like, "Yeah, my new hour is coming out, and I also have another new hour, so that when audiences come to see me
after this,
they're not going to be like, oh, it's the same shit that I just watched."
I feel like
but I
taped it in March, though. I taped it in March. It's October, so I mean, you know,
wow.
No,
that's
still a lot. It's doable. Well, you know what? You sit here for an hour every week and you say different stuff.
Yeah.
You can do it on stage if you just don't say your other stuff.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, that's the hard part, but that's the only thing you really have to do is when you're up there, you have to bury the instinct to go, I know that if I say this, it's going to go pretty well. But I could work on this and make this get to that level. Mm. You know,
you just dump one chunk, and continue doing the whole old act, and you just put in your new chunk. You get that down, then you dump the next chunk, and just like that, and then you just gradually, and then you know, you got 6 months to do it, and you just it you know, believe me, dude, it's not fun.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's not fun. There's a lot of bombing along the way, and but then you always have your old act to go back to, like a little safety thing, and then. Whatever. I don't want to sit here and talk comedy, though. I've done that on 58 different podcasts.
Let's
just make fun of people.
You said, I want to talk about my process today.
Yes, I do. Do you start with the setup or do you start with the punch? What came first, the drum track on that one or did you have the hook?
I will say this, though. This is separate from talking like being on stage. You were somebody, though, because my album came out a couple weeks ago.
You were somebody, and then you did drugs, and then now it's over.
Two weeks ago, I released my new album, and one of the reasons that I put it out on my own was conversations I had with you, conversations I had with Al, about, like, you know, just do it on your own. And yep. I'm very happy that I did it on my own.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, even if the one that you did kind of disappointed you, as you build a name and then you get a fan base, they're going to go back through your catalog,
right.
And you're going to own the thing. And
right.
Like, it's all about, like, trying as hard as you can to avoid that behind the music relationship.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, every business thing, it's insane how they, like, the first deal that they give you is just like, you know, if you sign it, that you're in a position where you could never steal from them, but if they wanted to, they could rob you blind.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have 100%. It's always like, okay, we'll get in business together. All the money will come to me, and then I'll tell you what we made.
Yeah.
And you it's always the first quarter. No, yeah. We're not in profit yet.
Yeah, and you're like, what?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, they are out to fuck you. So it is cool.
Isn't that a Guns N' Roses song?
Yes.
They're out to fuck me.
I own my new album, and I'm happy about it. That's my old one, but the new one I own, and I'm really excited about it. And so that aside, the other thing we want to talk about that's new and exciting is All Things Comedy.
Yes, the new podcast network, I totally forgot to. I was been on the road for so many weeks, I completely forgot to hype that last week on my thing. Me, Al Madrigal, and some other people started this podcast network, basically for podcasters, so we can start a network, but not have to give up ownership of our shows.
Yeah.
And everybody can get the money that they should get, rather than having one business guy go, tell you what, son, you've put this here. I'll pay you an exposure, and I'll get the yacht.
Yeah, my favorite thing in 10 years that I've been doing this is, how about some exposure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's great exposure.
I'm all full. I'm all done.
Great exposure. Hey, you heard we're all playing. We're playing, like, knee slappers this weekend, and chuckles.
Exposure. You got exposure?
Yeah.
That's good. So here's the cool thing. Like Bill just said, we own, you know, it's comics supporting each other. It's like a cool team.
It's a co-op.
It's a co-op, yeah.
It's just all on the same site.
And yeah, it's allthingscomedy.com. It's going to be a podcast from Bill, Jake Johansson, Harlan Williams, Baron
Ari
Vaughn.
Ari Shaffir, our good friend.
Ari Shaffir is great. He's got a new album out, too.
He also has a good album. Al Madrigal, et cetera, et cetera. Ari.
Minivan. Greg Barron and...
Baron Vaughn. Oh, Greg Barron. And Dave Anthony.
Dave Anthony. I just did their podcast called Walking the Room.
Uh-huh.
There we go. See that? I don't talk on my cell phone too much. It
there
only
you
took
go.
Me 30 seconds to get that out.
There you go.
I only spent an hour with them.
And and so that's awesome. You can check out all those plays at All Things Comedy. And yes, our good friend Ari, who we have mentioned, has an album out. It's called Revenge for the Holocaust. You can get it on iTunes or go to AriTheGreat.com. And it's a great album. I'm really happy for Ari. It's doing very well. Unfortunately, a little bit better than mine. All right.
Ari's on his way.
Yeah.
You can see that. He's going to be one of those guys selling clubs.
Yeah, definitely.
And going to theaters and but you can see it.
Yeah. He's
you on the other hand.
I don't know.
I'm joking.
No, and Ari also had like a you could actually see like I would say like a year ago, a switch in him, like a notable switch in, and not just like people, but in him, like in his whole like motivation.
Yeah.
To
No, he's all in. That guy's all in. You can
tell. He used to be a fucking loser, and now I'm just kidding. No, he was a bit of a slack. I think now he's really motivated. It's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he was just more like there.
Yeah.
And like, oh, what are we doing? Yeah. But now he's like full charge fucking going after it.
Yes.
All right. So that being said.
Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's HIMS.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/YMH. Hardmints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
We really wanted to get your opinion on something. You know, you're an opinionated guy. What do you hear?
I didn't like that at all. That was very.
Was that racist? Did you like, is that you saying? That
was totally racist. and it was a backhanded compliment. It was all those things. It's all those things that people say at parties. It was passive aggressive. it was aggressive.
It was aggressive.
It was defensive.
And passive.
And aggressive. In my face. All at the same time.
I think you can really help us here. We've been having a debate for several months.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think I'm winning right now.
No.
Judging by our Twitter account.
Not even close.
I think,
man.
I've been getting a lot of tweets on my side of the debate. All but right. Let's see what Bill Burr says. He's a very observant, astute man.
Yep. All right.
I don't even know what that word means. I just know when to use it.
Well, for all intents
very
and purposes.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to knock her in the head one day out here beside the garage because she called me retarded. I was going to knock her in the head with a claw hammer.
What did when he says she called me what?
Knock her in the head because she called me a...
Retard?
Wait, but listen, what do you hear? Hold on. Listen to him.
I was going to knock her in the head one day out here beside the garage because she called me retarded. I was going to knock her in the head with a claw hammer.
She called me a retard, a tired. I don't know what he's saying.
Well, we have...
What did you think he said?
We have differing opinions. I think...
Is this like those pictures that it looked like two different things?
Right.
Exactly.
Except it's audio.
Wow. It's audio, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's saying, I was going to knock her in the head because she called me retarded. Mm-hmm. And she thinks...
No, it's because she called me a retard.
A retard.
A retard.
Play it back again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to knock her in the head one day out here beside the garage because she called me retarded. I was going to knock her in the head with a claw hammer.
I think unretired.
Called unretired.
Unretired.
She called me
meaning
retired.
That he didn't have enough money to be retired. So she was saying that he couldn't provide.
Guys, there's a new answer to all our listeners.
Called her because you called me unretired.
Unretired.
Unretired. He has that dumb fucking... Isn't that funny that we were talking... You were like, where is he from? And you thought he was like from like Georgia or... That's,
some southern terrible backwater place.
Illinois. But that's Illinois. From Illinois.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on the road long enough. Yeah. Like the South gets a really bad rep. Like all the racists are supposed to be down there.
Yeah.
All the all the bad shit's supposed to be... I was just, talking to... they were saying like... I was out with some people last night, and they mentioned, that Clint Eastwood thing where he talked to the chair, which I've yet to see. I didn't even see it.
Oh, really?
But they said, like, down south, there was people who hung chairs from a tree with the American flag, saying to get Obama out of there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, that's the South. That's the South. It's like, all right, well, I was just in Charlotte. I was just in Jacksonville, and I was in Orlando. I mean, granted, I didn't drive around the rural areas, but you really get defined by the worst of you.
Yeah.
It's not like you go down there and it's like, you're walking by people in with Klan hoods on carrying suitcases as you go through the airport. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of great bands, a lot of great artistic scenes are in the South.
Yeah.
So and then there's a lot of racist morons just outside those great cities,
Absolutely.
New York City, come on, Long Island and Jersey. Like, they could go racist for racist with the deepest parts of Alabama.
Boston?
Huh? Boston. Boston always gets brought up.
Yeah.
Boston always gets brought up.
I mean, I heard crazy. I lived in Boston for a summer, and I heard crazy racist shit.
Oh, yeah,
shit
Boston is...
But isn't it like...
I try to defend it because I'm from there, but I mean...
I'm kind of ignorant. I've only been to Boston for like 2 or 3 days. Is it like white-on-white hatred? Like it's white people hating other white people in Boston?
It was. It's been everything. Back when I was a kid, like, there was Southie was Irish, the North End was Italian, and then you had Charlestown was Charlestown, and I lived out in the suburbs, so I didn't know enough about it, but like... Yeah, you just didn't go to different areas. But when I was coming up, that was just ending. It was like, I'm going to use a reference to? I'll use a reference to a musical I've never seen, but heard enough people, the one with their snapping fingers.
West,
are gonna have a
Side,
West Side Story.
The Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, the worst.
Love the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, they. I guess it would be like that if I saw the musical and it was like what Boston was. Does that reference work? Oh, no, I'm trying to call myself out on that more. I use a ton of references that I just use because everyone else has used them. You know, like Oompa Loompas. I don't know what that's from.
Right. But you just say it. You say
it. Look at this big fucking Oompa Loompa over here. Yeah. Anyways, what's up with folding chairs? And
You know what I do that really I don't call myself out on enough is when people will refer to like a famous, really highly acclaimed movie or book or song that I've never seen. I'll be like, yeah, that is good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Like I won't admit to.
I can use words like astute because I've heard people use them enough that I know where to drop them in.
Yeah.
But if you ask me to give a definition of it, like astute means like really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it means? I mean, that's like the child version.
Observant, yeah. You know what I'm bad with is political stuff. Like I barely pay attention to it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm real ignorant. People threw out stuff at this meeting yesterday. I was like, yep, I know.
Do you mean like when I sent you that picture from Kennebunkport, Maine?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Bush compound. She was like, all that beer. I was like, nope. Different Bush. And then the flip side of it is that she's read like 5,000 books and like can quote, you know, philosophers.
Well, I studied philosophy in college, so I've read like those kind of books, but
no.
I don't like real life stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of fucking rewards me.
No news.
No, until the presidential election really started like heating up with that 47% thing. Like I was saying on somebody's podcast that Mitt Romney could literally walk past me on the street.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the security and his Mitt Romney button, I wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
I would. Well,
I know the 47% thing. I had to learn about that.
Yeah.
For a meeting.
You did learn about
it.
Wasn't he just saying that, look, 47% of people, I know I can't get them, so fuck those guys.
Basically,
If I get those other guys. There really wasn't a controversy there, was
but
there?
I think he calls the 47% a bunch of like... What are they called?
He said
moochers. Moochers, faggots. Yeah.
He said faggots.
Like
yeah.
they leech
well,
off.
Well, why
they
wouldn't you? You're running for president and they won't vote for you, so they're just automatically in the douchebag column.
Fuck them.
Yeah,
right?
fuck those bums. Get a goddamn job, all of you. Even if you have a job, you're a bum. And then they go, and then the next day the left will just be like, you know, there's troops with puppies and breast cancer in that 47. They just lump as many sympathetic people in that. And then Mitt has to be like, I have no problem with people who fight for this country. I mean, I love this country. I wouldn't be in politics.
So I admit Robbie.
Yeah. So then he's got to do that shit. It's the worst job you could ever possibly have. The amount of people who shit on you and you want to tell them to go fuck themselves and you can't. And you have to just sit there.
No, you have to give that. You actually have every president says the same thing, at least the last 20 years, which is like, I'm everybody's president. Even those of you that didn't elect me, I'm still fighting for you. When you really know that they want to be like, fuck your mother's cunt.
Oh yeah.
Like,
you know what? I believe that they seriously.
I wish they would.
If they're getting along with the bankers, they just call the Federal Reserve and you know, you just have like a list of people. Just go audit these people. That's like their version of like blocking someone on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get to do it at like the governmental level. You just shut down their bank account. That's what I would do. I would totally abuse the power.
You would?
I would. Absolutely, I would.
And I think, by
there's
the
no way,
way
I wouldn't. I would be ordering ridiculous food. and I would be having all like cool people come over to play at the White House, like bands that I liked.
Do you like?
Yeah.
I would do that
having
too.
A party
That's a good
tonight.
One.
I think that, yeah, you can basically ask for whoever
you can make
you
the Fugees reunite.
And you could definitely make the Fugees reunite. And they would be glad to do it for you. Mm-hmm. Like, the president just asked for it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we getting paid? You're not getting paid shit. You're just going to go do that shit for the president. Like,
that'd be a big scandal.
Yeah.
President Segura had. You're not going to believe this.
I don't even know any young bands anymore. I don't even know any.
Who
I don't
would you have?
He had Counting Crows. That guy was one of the most annoying people on the planet.
Chris Robinson?
Oh, my God.
I hated it.
I couldn't. Is that the guy with the dreads?
They all have, like,
no,
shit dreads.
No, he didn't have dreads. Era. Dreads was
no,
the...
No, who was the guy...
Counting Crows.
Counting Crows.
Counting Crows.
What did I say?
You said Black Crows, right?
No, or did you said Counting Crows.
Oh,
Counting
sorry.
He's the
I
one
confused.
That was like, sha-la-la, Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
That was
inexplicably. Horrible, mushy torso, those awful hair, and was just banging the hottest ass. And it just really just reinforced that musicians get all the ass and comedians don't.
Yeah.
And I
really I thought guys got tons of road beef. I thought male comics just cleaned
Look,
up.
You have to work for it. The second your act's over, you have to continue. It'd be like if they got off stage and had to continue strumming their guitar. You have to keep being funny all the way up to basically the act, it seems. And and those guys, yeah, if you play a fucking open mic, play Row, Row, Row Your Boat, you're like beating them off you.
Yeah, look, as a comic, like you go, like at least nowadays when I'm on the road, what I find is that, like, you know, you have to basically go after your only chance is somebody who was in that room, right? Mm-hmm. And you gotta try to ride the wave of being, like, if you have a great show, you're riding the wave of being the center of attention, being cool or the funny guy. Mm-hmm. That's the only chance that most comics have, unless you're talking about somebody exceptionally famous or cool or really good looking.
Or somebody who's just good at talking to women.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
could just have one. That skill.
Yeah.
As opposed to us lazy comedians. Who's kidding right. who? You just yeah. want to go up there and fucking kill and be like, all right, who wants to suck? That's the dream world.
Yeah, if you could just talk to women, you could just be an MC and fucking crush pussy the rest of your life.
Yeah. yeah.
If you know how to talk to women. That's the truth, though, is that most of my friends that are comics, most are at best, okay, and usually awkward or bad at talking to women.
Yeah.
A lot of comics are.
Most comics are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's usually like one.
Guys I came up weren't.
No?
No. I came. Patrice was ridiculous. Patrice could actually insult them all the way into the bedroom.
That's so crazy.
And they would just be walking in going, I know, you're right. You're right.
But those are the broken girls. And broken girls, you can always manipulate.
Sure.
Listen,
any level, right?
No, let me tell you. It's still work.
Yeah.
It's just something that women won't understand because you guys don't have to convince people to have sex with you.
No.
It's one of the great things.
Yeah.
But Bobby Kelly back in the day, phenomenal.
At talking to chicks?
Phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal. No, there were legends in New York. I was not part of that group.
You were not in the legend crew?
No, dude. Come on. I look like Ron Howard. It was like I just always had to work. But I don't want to,
But Patrice, I had heard about. I mean, even a few years ago about his, I knew he was gifted, obviously. I mean, hear his stand-up on shows. But I heard stories about him with women, about how
no,
amazing.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It made no sense. And he was so good at making them uncomfortable that they ignored all of his imperfections that were just right in front of their face. Like
yeah.
one time... We were sitting, I know I've told this, I think I told this one on Opie and Anthony. We were sitting down the cellar. This was one of his classics, and there was three women, and they were excited, and it was a loud bar, and they were talking. So, you know, women, when they talk loud, they're like,
yeah.
And he just yelled over at one. He's like, ma'am, miss, ma'am, ma'am. And she finally looks over. She's gorgeous. And she's like, what? And he goes, your voice. She goes, is it loud? And he goes, it's piercing. And we just started laughing at her. And it took her a second to regroup. And I don't know what happened. 5 minutes later, all three of them, gorgeous, are standing around Patrice. And he has them auditioning to see who has the best phone sex voice. And they're doing it.
Unreal.
Because he had them all convinced that despite how they looked, their voices were so annoying that most guys actually secretly didn't like them. Wanted them to shut up and didn't want to hear their opinions.
Yeah.
And they bought into that.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're trying to prove to him that they can be sexy. And they were like, you know, they were all nines.
Yeah.
Like a nine in New York, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Super smoking.
Yeah.
Hot.
So yeah. That was
incredible.
I saw one time walked up to a girl and she was gorgeous and she had this little scar on her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes walking up with his big, stupid finger. She was sitting down mm-hmm. and he goes, I like that. And he pointed right at her scar and she was like mortified. And that's just how he would. You just started off balance with him,
yeah.
And then he just kept pushing your shoulder verbally every time you would start to regain your footing. He would find something else, and he would just trash you for an hour.
And then you loved him.
Yeah, no. Some nights you hated him. You literally wanted to kill him. Like he would make you so mad, he would start laughing at you. It was brutal. I beat him once in 20 years of knowing him.
At the game,
which is inevitable. Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable at least once you're going to win.
Yeah.
I just got him. We were on the phone. It was a three-way call, me, him, and Bobby. And I was using all of his techniques, which made him mad.
Yeah.
And then he was off his game. He didn't talk to me for like 3 days. He was so upset. but it was literally like, you know, when they drag some idiot out of the stands and he hits a half-court shot.
Sure.
You drag enough idiots out there, eventually someone's going to hit it.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened. But other than that, I think, so I was basically 1 in 17,000
conversations with him.
No, he pounded. Yeah, we used to gang up on him.
And he could still.
We, like, gang up on him, and you'd get him for a little bit. It's just like, I can't, it's like one of those video games you just can't defeat. Yeah. Unless you go online and you get the cheats. The cheats where we would gang up and try to gang up on him. And he would still effortlessly. And then you'd hope you'd have solidarity with the person that you ganged up on. And then he'd get you with something. And then your friend just had to start laughing at you. And then you were done. And then they wanted Patrice to stop trashing them. So then they would pile on with Patrice. And then it was brutal. So then you'd have to try to get it off you onto somebody else. And you just, oh, it was, yeah.
That's so awful.
It's so awful.
It sounds terrible.
It made us better. We used to go downstairs at the cellar, and you'd be upstairs, and you'd have some new bit, and somebody would hate your joke. Like Keith would hate it, or Patrice would hate it. It just as long as one person hated it, they would bring it up and start saying how awful a joke it was. And then everybody would pile on. And then you have to be like, fuck you, I'm still doing the joke. And then you'd go downstairs to do the joke, and everyone would be standing, staring at you during your set, dude. And it was brutal. Wow. And even if you committed and it got the joke got a laugh, Patrice had a laugh that was so loud he could shut the crowd up.
Yeah.
And he knew when to laugh. He just knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a nightmare. I loved him to death. But when he was on you, it was a fucking nightmare. And it didn't end when you went on stage.
Right.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, that's why we look at all these fucking people now. Like, I can't even relate to them. Like, this whole new thing. It's like nobody I feel like this old guy. Like, hey, you know, we used to give each other shit.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't supportive. But it was supportive because you were...
No, you're helping each other out with that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, that certainly made like somebody heckling you after that point of sitting there having Norton, Keith, Voss, and Patrice on your ass at the same time. And then Kevin Hart came along. If you had all five of them trashing you, like when you went on stage and somebody heckled you, it was hilarious.
Yeah. Because that you just dealt with fucking five of the...
Professionals.
Yeah, professionals, yeah. Yeah, that's so
professionals,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing is so foreign to me in comedy.
There were comics who literally avoided going to the cellar
just because of that,
or they would just go downstairs and do their set and then they leave. They wouldn't go upstairs to the table.
Really?
Yeah. And the whole table came about, I think, because of Patrice, because Patrice got kicked out of the club. So we loved him so much, we just would go where he was. So he would be like in front of the club. So we would all just go outside. And they didn't know how to deal. And I remember they were telling him he had to leave. And he was just like, oh, else what? He's like, you'll never, ever, ever, never play this club. He's like, I'm already kicked out of here, motherfucker, you know? So we were all just laughing. So then
he got kicked out of the club, though? Like, out of the cellar?
The cellar kicked him out.
Why?
I forget why. Okay. I forget why. He just for being Patrice, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
and in defense of them, they were probably right on a lot of levels. So he got kicked out. So, but you know, he held court. So it's just so he was sitting out in front of the place. So instead of hanging out up there, we were then outside, and then we were being loud. The loudness was now out there, and people were walking by, and they were trying to bark, and I don't know if they thought it was a bad idea. So then what they did, then they let him back in the club because they realized they didn't have any power over him once they kicked him out. He was out there like, what else are you going to do? It's like a guy who has a life with no parole. He just stabbed someone in the shower. Are you going to stick me in the cell, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh, and he would be shitting all over him, and we would laugh our ass off. So then they let him back in the club, and then... Then that's when they came up with the table because they were trying to contain it, to keep it. It was hilarious. It's like they put us on timeout. And when they didn't feel, this is your table. You got a place to sit and all that. So then they would probably argue that this isn't true, but I'm convinced of it. So then we sat down back there, and then it was epic because then Manny, rest his soul, who was still alive, loved to argue in politics and that type of stuff. And then him and Patrice would go at it. And you had this guy who was just the greatest ever at making fun of your head and your shirt and all your... And then with a guy who was an unbelievably well-read guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they would talk about world events. So you had this guy, you know... It was just... They were just epic battles. And then that's when the whole thing kind of took off. And like a tough crowd came out of that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, everybody... Giraldo was there.
Sense,
Giraldo, Colin Quinn, Nick DiPaolo, Jim Norton, Rich Voss, Patrice O'Neill, Keith Robinson, Bobby Kelly. It was insane. And if you came down there and you wore the wrong shirt, it was fucking over. It was over. I remember one time Keith wore the wrong shirt, and we got him on so we just started to get on him so bad. He stood up and he ran out of the club. And I was so fucking mad. I was like, you can do that? I didn't know you could do that. I thought you just had to sit here and take it.
You make it sound so much more fun than anything I've experienced doing.
It's so business. It's depressing now. Here.
I remember when Jim Norton came down, and he had his first CD. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, I got my new CD. And somebody said, hey, let me take a look at that. And they just broke it in half. He threw it on the ground. Poured a bunch of drinks on it, and it was just. And he laughed his ass off.
I would have died if somebody.
He laughed his ass. Yeah, that was the It was really childish.
Yeah,
yeah. God forbid you were standing anywhere with something in your hand; it was going to get slapped out of your hand.
That's right.
Cell phones, bag of chips, anything.
Yeah.
And it was always funny. It was so stupid.
Sure.
It was always funny. Well,
what I was thinking is what you're describing doesn't take me. In my mind, in my experiences to the world of stand-up, that takes me to, like, middle school, high school. That feels like all the shit that I would do and did with friends in school. But in my stand-up experience...
It was immature as hell, and it never stopped.
That's awesome.
You'd be sitting at home, and you'd pick up the phone, and you'd just pick it up, and it would just be like somebody had someone else on three-way, and you'd be sitting at home, and they would just trash you about something. I don't know what. I remember one night Patrice took a night off, and everybody found out that he took a night off. And I think Norton and somebody else called, and they called him at home at like between their spots at like 9:30 at night. And he picked up the phone, and they just, "What the fuck are you doing home at 9:30 on a Saturday?" And he just started roaring laughing, and they trashed him for like 10 minutes and just hung up on him.
That's great.
So,
I think that's a really good way. I think as comics, we're all inherently angry and sometimes jealous and hate each other. Mm-hmm. I think our generation, we just talk shit behind each other's backs.
As opposed to each other's
face. It's just being like, fuck you, piece of shit, and then you get it out. Like Matt Fulcheron said that musicians are united by the bands they like, they have in common. Mm-hmm. Comics are united by the comedians they hate.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
No, it was a lot of fun, but I also, in all of that, we always laugh. We didn't write one script. We didn't pitch one show. So the funniest guys I ever met.
Yeah.
Like they were... they were unreal. And Patrice was the king. Like, you walked in, if he wasn't there, you were relieved. And there were nights when you were on a roll, and, you know, you were killing someone at the table, and then he starts walking in, like, your heart would sink. Like, oh, fuck, here we go. Here we go. Now it's the real deal. Dad's home, you know?
Yeah, man. God, we don't have that at all here.
Eddie Iff said the funniest thing one time. He goes, dude, he goes, sometimes, like, I'll come walking into the cellar. And he goes, just as he walked in, Patrice would be killing at the table, and then just see Eddie come in. It'd be like, and just start yelling over at him. And Eddie said that I would literally think, fuck, he saw me.
Yeah.
No, he used to do, I remember when the old Boston Comedy Club, one night he was trashing people so well. There was a firehouse right next door, and the guys, you know, if there wasn't a fire, they'd just be hanging out there, and they were dying laughing after an hour of Patrice trashing everybody, taking on all comers. One of the firemen went up to Patrice and said, good set. It was awesome. Like, and he got such a kick out of that. He was standing outside. That was right around the corner from, which is now like a fucking wine bar or something. Jesus Christ, I'm old.
Oh, and one of the funniest things, by the way, because we have a lot of, obviously, stand-up fans. God damn, his original HBO half hour is fucking amazing. Patrice's. It's so good. And
He's got the Showtime one.
He's got the Showtime one, and then he's got the
Elephant in a Room. He's got Mr. P.
Yes, Mr. P. Everything's great. But the great thing about watching that that HBO half hour is that it's all like every bit starts with like provoking, unlikable statements. And like you could tell it's not an audience that's like, we're on board with whatever you say. Mm. He says something and they're like, huh. And then he kills with that. Like he says something that they're not like necessarily in agreement with and then destroys the room. And then that bit ends. He says something else and they're like, huh. And then fucking kills with that. It's amazing. He's fucking totally amazing.
He probably made the most people cry from stage I've ever
really?
Seen. Yeah.
He would just relentless with when he got on somebody, I bet, right? Like when
but he wasn't malicious though.
Right.
That was the thing. He wasn't malicious. Like he never went after anybody like in the crowd but if somebody was annoying him, It was over.
Really?
And they that's one of the things I miss most about him is that experience of getting to see somebody meet him for the first time, and just, you know, they always thought, all right, he's this big dude. They always are looking for him to get physical, so they never saw, you know, that he was going to come at them the way he did, and he would always,
oh, right.
Oh, it was hilarious.
He's a big motherfucker, right? Like 6'5"?
Yeah. He played football. I think he won the Super Bowl at the high school level.
Oh, really?
Yep.
He played college ball, too, I think, right?
I think he was going to go to Northeastern. They wanted him to play, but he didn't want to play. He wanted to be a comedian. He's like, I'm not getting your fingers smashed up and messing up you. He was too... he had too many... He had, like, just different options. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, He was too... I'm saying it the wrong way. Like, it's not like you're dumb if you play football, but it was just...
Yeah.
He went the route he wanted to go.
Yeah, of course.
But the obvious thing, oh, look at you. You should play ball. You're huge. You should play ball.
Yeah. He was like, I don't want to fucking play ball.
Yeah. We'll be right back with Remembering Patrice. No, this is good, though.
Wow.
Which is Mike Singletary?
So this is Which is Mike Singletary. We play two audio clips, and you tell us which is Mike Singletary.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep. That's him.
I like this kind of party.
That's him?
Yeah, come on, dude. That's a classic quote.
Oh, I knew Bill would get it.
Wow, that's a first.
I want to say this. Number one is I apologize for the start.
Well, that could be him after the his coaching career. I could almost say that the first one's definitely him.
Definitely him?
It was one. Can you say, is both an option? No.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be
sure.
Both.
Yeah.
I would actually, that the first one is without a doubt him. I've seen that. I like that kind of party, baby. I've seen that. That's forever. That's like, I've heard that a million times. That's like Lawrence Taylor.
I like
Taylor.
Saying that.
Like a pack of crazy dogs. That's NFL Films classics. But
is Mike Singletary.
Out of respect for him, I would say that he would not cry as a coach. So,
okay. Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
So Bill's saying that's definitely...
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Okay. I love so much that Bill is such a sports fan that he's definitely...
I would say you're the first person to actually know where that is from.
Oh, yeah. No.
That was really good.
I love it.
That was really good.
Fucking you're the best. This is much better. You saying that makes me like you.
I want to say this. Number one is I apologize for the start.
I want to say both, but out of respect for him, I'm not going to say Mike Singletary cries.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to say it's just the first one.
All right. Hmm. The correct answer is both.
I knew it. I knew. I don't want to hear him crying. That's awful.
Oh, shit.
Look how upset Bill's getting, too. He moved up in his chair.
Nah, it's Mike Singletary, dude. You don't want to hear. I don't want to see that. That was like when Don Zimmer cried after he attacked Pedro Martinez and he got thrown to the ground.
By his head?
Yeah, but he, you know, Pedro had no option there.
I know. He really
had
didn't.
No option.
He got charged, basically.
Either
right?
get hit by an old man or run away from him.
Yeah.
Either way, you're going to get a bunch of shit, or you grab him by his giant head
and throw him down.
He just guided him.
Yeah, he did.
He guided him down.
Yeah.
But what's his face? He fell like a toddler before a toddler realizes that it has hands.
Well, old man,
didn't get it out.
You shouldn't be charging at people. What was the reason again? I forget. Why did he charge him?
He was the 99 playoffs, and I forget if he had already thrown at somebody, but he looked over at the Yankees bench, and he pointed at his head, and they took it as saying, I'll throw at your head. And he tried to say, I think, you know, use your head or be smart. So there was some sort of gesture he made. It was pointing to his head, and then it was all bets were off. And then the worst thing was Andy Pettit going, what happened? What happened? You know what happened, Andy. Why don't you go do something?
He just didn't want to fight.
He was like, what happened? Jesus. Should we do a prayer circle? What happened? The 80-year-old guy on your team has grass stains on his face.
Because he's got thrown by his big fucking head. What do you think? I wanted to ask you this. We were talking about this because we have a neighbor who is slowly dying.
Oh, boy.
And he's old.
Yeah, I have one of those. Do they have any family?
No, that's the sad part.
He does have family. They don't come around. That's the actual answer. He does have family.
But we don't know what the story is. Like,
well, yeah, what did he do?
Like,
how did he alienate the family?
Right.
We don't know what the real story is.
I know what. He's a sweet old guy.
He dominated the TV. All these years, it was what he wanted, or it was turned off.
He has kids that live, like, you know, a ways from here, I think. But I'm saying, like, he doesn't have family around as he's slowly dying. And he's old, man. He's really, he's over 90. And he's just sitting in.
So how old are his kids then? 60s?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, see, kids are in their 60s.
His kids are in their 60s, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. What are they supposed to do?
I'm just saying, get
on their motorcycle and come over and check the guy out?
I'm just saying that, like...
You can live too long. I think that that's what you're saying.
Well...
I think that's what we're saying.
What we were talking about is, like, when I'm seeing him... You know, I see him sometimes... I've seen him deteriorate. I was telling her, like, hey, if it gets like that for me, I want to check out. Like, I'm not opposed to... Wait a minute.
But before, when we had this discussion about him, I was like, just let go. Like, why are you doing dialysis twice a day? Yeah. And he's really holding on. And I was like, just go. Just go to the light. And you were like, no, that's really mean. You shouldn't. And now you've had... No, remember?
Mean.
You were like, I don't know. That's so...
I remember that.
Did my voice go like that? Did I go,
yeah, and you're all, come on, man.
Come on, man.
It's only dialysis. Really cool. It's just dialysis.
And I think you've had, after watching him suffer... A little change of heart.
Yeah. Okay. I don't remember the conversation you're talking about.
Yeah, huh?
I'm saying that I don't recall what you're saying.
All right.
But what I'm asking is...
Sounds like a politician, doesn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. I have no recollection.
I know.
Trying to be diplomatic here.
Okay.
We have a guest.
If you guys want to have a marital spat here, you know...
Yeah.
It ain't going to bug me.
Okay, right. Well...
Not to mention gas and electric and all the other fucking bills.
All right. Are you opposed to that, checking out early on your own?
I don't want to die.
You don't want to die?
I don't want to die, but I don't want to sit there being...
But if you're, like, you have ALS and you're, or whatever, something, like, your body's deteriorating, yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you believe that if you kill yourself, you don't get to go to the happy place?
I used to as a kid.
Yeah, come on.
I don't anymore.
No.
I would just walk into God, just look him right in the eye. Yeah. Three words, dude. ALS.
And then,
evidently, you wanted to see me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if I came here a little early.
Yeah.
You want me to go back out in the waiting room for a minute? I can do that. But if you think I'm going to sit there,
yeah,
getting to the point where I can't even move my tongue.
Oh. Yeah, man. And your brain, and by the way, with ALS, your brain stays completely fine. Like, you have the same, there's no deterioration in your brain. Your muscles.
Yeah, it's like being locked in. That's awful.
That's awful.
No.
No disrespect.
And you know what? There's going to be that one motivated asshole who somehow like blinks out like an Oscar-winning script, and then and they'll use that as like an excuse to keep you going. He was just so positive. It's like Christopher Reeve. I used to do a bit about that when Christopher Reeve, when he wheeled him out, rest his soul when he was sitting there all like smiling. I would not be smiling. I would fake him out. That's a bit I did. I would like come out acting like I was smiling, and then I fucking hit that thing full force and try to run myself right off the end of the stage, die right in front of Jack Nicholson. Just do a face plant. There's no fucking way.
But you
please
start off.
Don't challenge. Yeah. Everybody, that standing ovation, that he's paralyzed from the neck down and he's still smiling about it. Hey, he's coming towards us. And as they open their arms, yeah.
You fucking hit the gas.
Yeah. And then they won't know whether I did it on purpose or not. So then my next of kin will win some sort of settlement with the wheelchair company.
There you go.
It's a win-win.
Because then they could be like...
And the most viewed YouTube video of all time.
150 million
easy.
Hits.
Trolls
easy.
Will jump all over it.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Just trying to piss people off.
Oh, don't you hate them?
I'm glad he died. And I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know people who do that?
Yeah.
Obama sucks and I'm a Democrat. Yeah. Like just all those hacky...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that in the YouTube comments. Just
that makes me
they're the worst.
Oh, it makes me so... Especially because when I grew up, if you said something mean to somebody, I used to get into fights all the time with black chicks because I would talk shit and then I would get my ass
beat. Wow, this is a whole other side of you.
This is, yeah.
Where did this come from?
I was like a... And I would get into fucking fights. So
you had
I learned
your nice blonde hair blown in the wind.
No,
so there was already
blonde. It wasn't blonde.
It was already
back then.
There was already the friction.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
you said at least my hair is real, bitch, right? And then she put Vaseline on her face. Was it? Did it get like that?
There was Vaseline, yes. Lotions.
I mean, you didn't point out that
elbows.
You used to go to black neighborhoods just to start fights with black children. No. This was
but
in
don't
school.
You think
this
it's so
like in,
rude? This is Portola Junior High in the Valley. This was fucking, it was a nightmare. But don't you think that this generation, because
shit was real.
There's no accountability, that they can say whatever the fuck they want? Because like, you're not going to find that person and be like, hey, why did you write that? Why did you say that?
Somebody's quote, I can't remember who they said it to, but somebody, you know, when Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth, he said they were talking about the internet. You just get to be this coward and say all this shit. But I've done it. I used to do it on YouTube all the time. I used to just try to see how mad I could make people.
Just drop comments under videos?
Yeah, and it was fun. But then after a while, it was just too easy.
Yeah.
It was too easy. And then what I did was I tried to see how mad I could make racists. So I felt like I was at least attacking somebody who was an asshole.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
So you'd find a racist comment, and then, or you'd find a racist video. And then
Because
the comments are super racist.
If you have anything, you could show two people playing tennis and you look by five comments down, somebody's dropping the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Like, they like,
so true.
Yeah.
Racists love the internet.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's the best. Yeah. And then there's videos that have, like, I don't know, nothing that just, not, like, it could be a guy can make a video like, look how this person parked at this parking space at my office. And then you look down the videos,
fucking Obama.
Yeah. And you're like, what? And then then a whole racial fucking war starts underneath that. There's a whole thread of racist shit. You're like,
or it goes conspiracy theory and the New World Order. It'll go that route. Like, the thing is, well, regular people, you should just don't respond to it. You know, that's like, you know, somebody trashed me on Twitter, I never respond to it. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you give them, like, why would you waste your it's like, all right, I get it. You don't like me. I'm going to sit there and try to one-up you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I start the first time, because when you start doing stand-up, the only thing you hear...
What was it like when you started? What was your process?
My process, when
you first started?
You said you wanted to discuss this today. The first thing you do, though, when you first do shows, is it's only positive, because it's like friends or like somebody, like when you're doing it like part-time, it's all you hear is like positive reinforcement. Like, that was really funny.
Right, yeah.
And then when
Stick
you get
with
something,
it.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to keep at it, man. You're going to do something one day. And then you see a video up, and that's the first time you see like really being trashed negative comments. And like, I remember first seeing that and responding to it, like, go fuck your mother, like to somebody who told me.
Hey, I'm funny.
Yeah. And then, but then I realized that, like, no, the thing you want to do is never respond to that kind of shit.
Yeah,
why
you can't.
Would you?
You're not going to convince
and
somebody
then, and
to
then
like
you get
you.
To the
it's
next
crazy.
Level where you don't. You never even read them, which is even better.
Yeah, fucking
because
read
somebody
it.
Is wasting all this time.
Yeah.
You know, writing this shit, hoping you're going to see. You know, so I don't read any of it.
It's good.
Do I?
I don't read Twitter. I read a lot of Twitter. So if you want to say something mean to me, that would be your biggest chance.
Do you respond to it?
No.
No, yeah.
No, if they're funny.
Yeah.
If they're funny, I'll retweet it.
Yeah.
Or if they just say something that makes me laugh, I'll respond to people.
Yeah.
And we'll give them shit back, but it's not in a malicious way. But if somebody's like truly being like, you fucking suck, blah 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 blah, it's like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
You know. I'm not worried about that 47%.
No, man. And then there's this whole other segment of the internet where people overshare on Facebook and Twitter. Have
it's
you seen that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, like videotaping your parents arguing.
Right. Well.
Right. When they don't pay for your college in like 12 years, you know, I don't think you're going to have to figure out why.
Well, I've collected some Facebook updates of people that I'm friends with. So here's one that this girl I went to high school with just wrote, which is fucking unbelievable. This is an actual update. Yay! Exclamation mark. Mom's blisters got popped and cured. Now her foot is in a splint.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't fucking what
shit.
Is wrong with people?
Why like, would you share it?
You know, that reminds me of.
Why would you even write that
yeah,
in public?
Why?
Yeah, probably doesn't want even like extended family to know that she had to have blisters that were so severe they had to be popped by a professional, and then you still had to have a splint.
It's unbelievable, man.
And there's a photograph of the mom with the splint, too.
Break a bone when you pop that zit or whatever? Foot zits.
Well, that,
in the news.
That reminds me of a few weeks ago. I told you we're moving. And I went to look for apartments. She was out of town. So I go with my...
Yeah, I can't believe you guys are leaving the business.
Yeah,
you
man.
Guys had it all going.
Iowa, dude.
You just going right back.
Yeah. Yep.
You ever just want to do that?
All the time. Today.
Yeah.
Not Iowa, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I didn't understand Slipknot till I did a college gig in Iowa in February. And all the crops were cut down and it was overcast and it was just gray. And I was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
I get why that guy sings that way. Mm-hmm. Totally fucking made sense.
Well, I went...
And then I became a fan.
You went, you really? Because of that?
Yeah, I like those guys.
When I went, we went to look at apartments and a lady showed me her apartment that she owns the front house. This was like the back house. She gave me the tour and then we're sitting out in the backyard. She's like, this backyard be all yours. And I was like, okay. And then she sat down on the backyard patio and she goes, and you know, yeah, I just love sitting back here. I've had two knee replacements. And she had longer than shorts, but kind of like capri pants. And she pulls it up and she goes, you know, had both knees replaced. And I see the scars. And I'm like, all right. Like, I've seen people have done that. Like, yeah. She goes, actually, in this one here, you know, I had an artery that, like, collapsed and had to have, like, an additional surgery. And I was like, okay. She goes, and that artery caused, like, a blood infection. And it deformed my foot. And I was like, yikes.
Here comes the foot.
Yep.
Foot comes out. It's from a fucking horror movie. Like, it is a deformed, mangled, discolored, just disgusting. And at that moment, I got upset. I got notable. I was like, what the fuck did you just show me that for?
You
like,
said
what?
That to her?
No, but I looked at her and I was like, yep. And my sister was with me and I was looking at her. And I was like, what the, like, of course
you
I'm not going to.
You just met her. Like, yeah, she's burdening you with
why
her
are you
bullshit.
Did you do the big head shake in front of her?
Yes.
Or is she down point?
Yes, she saw the head shake.
Fucking believe this?
Yeah.
What else? How does your vagina look these days, you old bag?
Oh, fuck, man. Why are you sharing that with me? It's so upset me.
Aging's the worst.
Wait, can I read you another
one?
Oh,
yeah, please.
This one's really inappropriate to share on the internet, I think. I'm sorry you only get us for 2 days, Mommy, Stephanie says at pickup tonight. Guess I'll have to love them up extra good this weekend. Like, clearly it's a custody thing, and, like, you're admitting. Oh. Get your face.
And also you're telling people
much.
Where they're going to be, when
yeah,
they're going to be.
Yeah, that's yes. the other thing.
You know?
Yeah, people, because there's one part of that with the
did
sharing.
I forget to lock the front door? Yeah. Oh, well, LOL.
Everybody on Main Street's nice, though. You're like, all right,
do you know, I got
Main
a,
Street.
I got a buddy of mine I went to school with. He's a prosecuting attorney, and he tells me on numerous occasions, you know, they've caught people, you know, when they steal stuff, is they go to their Facebook page and they're standing there with the shit they stolen, like they're balling, you know,
yeah.
holding cash and then like the stereo and the whatever.
Everything that's missing.
Whatever. What do people steal? What is the laptop?
Yeah.
I'm trying to update my references.
Yeah.
Giant speaker cabinets. All this Radio Shack
turn
gear.
Table.
Do you see that on ABC when they went to, they left, they were testing TSA people out for stealing? So they were purposely leaving behind iPads at TSA security checkpoints. It was like 2 weeks
totally
ago.
Totally entrapment.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, they did it. And then they went back to like the security checkpoint and they were like, oh, it's gone. Like whatever, you lucked out. But they had the tracker on the iPad. Mm. And so then they went to the person's house. As a TSA guy in his TSA uniform, like walks out of his house, and they're like, "Hey, man, you know, we left our iPad at security, and it's like at your house. It's like,
oh,
do you have
no.
our iPad?" And he was like, "No, I don't have your iPad." And they're like, "Oh, okay." And then the guy reaches down and he sets an alarm off on the iPad that you can hear going off in the house.
And what the guys do?
The guy's like, "Let me go look for it, man." And then he comes out with the iPad, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. And they're like, how did it end up at your house? And he's like, my wife, she took it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you work for TSA. We left it at the airport.
Oh, no.
It was, yeah, he was just like,
Did he bring up Shaq's name at any point?
It was the worst. Like when you know and you're like, caught in a lie and you're just like, but so blatantly, and you're just like, well, then the other thing is the other stuff.
Sometimes they get caught in the wind and go down people's chimneys.
Fucking made no sense. And then he's like, I got to go now.
Yeah,
he
but this is the thing, though. Like, you're hiring people, and what do they make an hour?
Something horrible that you don't need.
That's the thing. Like, you know, we're when I go through airport security, I just realize how expendable I am.
Yeah,
you know, because you got these right after 9/11, people were on point. Okay, just saw like, you know, type A. There was people with machine guns. We looked like we were in Israel, right? Like nobody's getting by.
Yeah,
and then after like within 6 months, it was back to the same. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they're all bad. There's like. What I find with those TSA people, they are either on point and they are this shit with a military background, or they are just some fuck up.
Yeah.
Singing to the music, joking around, laughing.
Yeah.
Another reason why you're expendable is that they just, you know, they don't have time. Just stand in that radiation thing and get zapped front and back and then walk up, which is the dumbest thing you could ever do. I keep telling people my act. I worked in a dental office when I was younger, and if I took an x-ray of your tooth, I put a lead vest over your vitals down to your crotch, and then I left the room. And this was just to take a picture of your molar.
Yeah.
And now you're supposed to stand there, spread eagle. It's perfectly safe. Oh, yeah, and that website's secure.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a fucking break.
So do you opt out of it every time you fly?
Every time. Do you know how many times I've been felt up with the back of the hands in blue gloves? I got it down. No sensitive areas. I've done it a zillion times. I know. I face this way first and then this way. I won't touch any of my stuff.
This is the Bill Burr I wanted.
Yeah.
This is the guy.
Well, you should have asked the questions, my friend. You gotta steer the interview the way you want to go.
So, but then isn't the thing that like you're not getting radiation from that machine? Isn't that what the claim is from them?
I'm sure. Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure that's exactly what they say. The same way somebody who has an SUV they want to sell. Nah, it doesn't tip over. Corners like a Lamborghini. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've gone through that machine now way too many times.
Me too, every week. But do you think they are? Is it possible to have different types of X-ray? Like, you know how they say the microwave is safe because it's microwaves and therefore it's not like radiation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Bill,
do you know if you take, somebody told me this, all right? If you take a glass of water and you put it in the microwave and you nuke it up and then you go and, you know, when you let it cool down and you just keep watering plants with that, the plant will die.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No shit.
Yeah, just kind of like...
One thing. Oh, this is something.
My science background. I'm so in over my head right now. But I have a good gut instinct, and I know when shit doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Do you have a microwave?
That's your zappy. Yeah, I don't use it.
You don't use it.
I won't use it. I won't use it. No, I won't. I won't. Look, I already talk on a fucking cell phone. I try to use that hands thing as much as I can, but I have it in my pocket.
Yeah.
I'm radiating my hip and my balls, my whole unit all the time.
Yeah.
Just this low level of just, you know, slow ball cancer.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, I mean, I don't know what the fucking's going on with cell phones, but you talk on one long enough with it up against your head, you feel yourself getting loopy. There's something going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what. My memory's for shit now. I don't know if it's just because I'm older. I have no idea. So what I try to do is I think I have enough radiation in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Flying on a plane, you're up there. You know what I mean? Evidently, you get a bunch of radiation up there. I'm trying not to get the supersized version on
the tumor
way out.
That's definitely coming to you.
And the way in, the way back. Who knows? It might be actually killing tumors in you while creating others. I don't know how that works.
Sheryl Crow came out a few weeks ago and said that when her first album came out, it was like early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you remember those fucking brick cell phones, the big ones?
Yeah.
And she said, I was doing 3 and 4 hour press interviews with the OG one, the big fucking shoe cell phone. And then she got a brain tumor, and she thinks it's because she was holding that thing to her head for 4 hour.
I mean, think about it.
It's
a signal from Earth that goes up to outer space, zaps down through the clouds, through structures. And now the signal's so strong. I mean, I can actually talk on the subway sometimes in New York.
Yeah.
You know, way into the tunnel, I can still have conversations and texts with people.
Yeah.
Because people bitch. Like, oh, my fucking phone keeps... All right, man, we'll turn that signal up for you. Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
So, look, as much as we're saying all this shit, people are living longer than ever. Like all this stuff about trans fats and all this type of shit. Yeah, maybe we're a little more sluggish, but Fritos are the shit.
I do think you're one of the only people I talk to about, hey, man, do you trust other people?
Do you say that? Hey, man.
Yeah, I say, hey, man.
Yeah, that's why I like you. Hey, man.
Do you trust other people to just be in control of your finances?
And absolutely not.
Yeah, and you're the only, especially like
those people who have what do they call those people? A money manager,
business manager,
and right, they sign over power of attorney, right. And this guy can just sign checks with your names.
Yeah,
I know people who go, dude, I don't even know, like people who are like, you know, busy, and they go, I don't even know what a bill is. I haven't put a stamp on an envelope. It's like, dude. And you know what else you don't know? You don't have no idea what your account balance is. You're out of your fucking mind. You better hope that guy you're with is. I
completely agree with you. Because here's something, like for people to listen, in the entertainment world, what happens is
in show business,
once an actor, comic, writer, director, whatever, starts making like $250,000, $300,000, which is an excellent amount of money to make,
it's ridiculous.
They go. There's no way I would know what to do with this. Somebody else should. Also, I'm burdened by my hectic schedule.
Right.
Who's going to pay my bills? I'm going to give it all to this person. That person now controls all of your money.
So crazy.
And I don't have to see bills anymore. But my whole thing, like to my friends who have talked about this, who have that, I'm like, you know, I know guys that happen to not be entertainers that make way more money than you. And they don't have a business manager. They pay their bills. I know... whatever, business people, doctors, like what
they can do that.
Before I came over here, that's what I was doing, and I hate it. I get off the road, and there's this mountain of mail.
Yeah,
I give to a couple of charities, and once you do that, they're like, "Yeah, we got a live one." And I swear to God, they chop down like 20 redwood trees trying to get you to do something else. You know, so I always have a bunch of junk mail and everything to go through, but I just sit there, and I fucking hate doing it. It's tedious. I get why people don't want to do it, but it's already bad enough that you're taking your money and you're sticking it into a bank that is just completely unregulated and can do whatever it wants to do and is too big to fail. You're already running that. Oh, my account's insured for blah, blah, blah. Yeah, until it isn't.
That's like
those people with the houses in Florida. I got hurricane insurance. Yeah, until they say go fuck yourself.
Which they do.
Yeah, insurance is the biggest scam ever.
Yeah.
Biggest scam ever.
Wait,
so
do you not pay any of your bills online?
No. But this is what I hate, though. But all my bank information is already online just in case they want to do it. And it's just like, is it really my money? You know, can I make decisions on my account, you fucking cunts? Mm-hmm. It's really annoying that you're going to put that out there and then just sit there and tell people that it's secure. It isn't secure. The guy who built the site, he right there has a back door. They always have the back door to go in, according to all the movies that I've watched. Yeah. Once again, in way over my head, but I'm going to go with this. And then anybody who's smarter than that guy can break in.
Absolutely. And your account can be taken over by any, like the bank at any moment could be like, your account's frozen.
Absolutely.
The government could be like, your account is frozen.
If the Lufthansa heist and Goodfellas can go down.
How'd you say it?
Lufthansa, whatever the hell it is. I've seen it a zillion times.
Lufthansa?
Lufthansa, whatever. Jimmy! If that can go down, they can't get my fucking side splitter funny bone money. Give me a fucking break. It's just sitting there waiting to be got.
Guys, you can take Bill Burr's money whenever you want.
Here's a good one for you. Don't ever use your debit card.
Ever?
Ever.
Why?
Because that's your money.
Right.
If you're going to get double swiped, you want it to be the credit card. So that's true. They call you up, did you get a ham sandwich at a lap dance in Edmonton?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Have fun with that. Click.
Yep.
That's on them. But if they get you, now you know, if they get your fucking money, you know, the banks with the red tape. Well, it's going to take 6 weeks before we get the official review board to look at this. You know, it's going to be some bullshit like that. Once again, I've never gone through it.
Cash is king. That's why you got to have cash too, man.
He's right, though, because I've had friends that had identity theft on their debit cards.
Yeah.
And if you lose the cash, fuck you. You're just out of that cash until the bank finally comes around to giving it back to you.
I got it one time with a bank on the debit card when there was a $700 payment to Verizon, and I was like, I don't have a Verizon account, and they're like, we'll see what we can do. I was like, what? Like, this is $700, man? Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, you're fucked. You're just out of it.
You just had to wait and wait and wait.
Well, the credit card company's fucked. Yeah. But they have the option of ramping up interest rates and and passing the fuck over on you as an individual.
Yeah.
Can't. No, it's unbelievably terrifying. All of that shit. To have, all of that is just, yeah.
That's, how do you feel about using an iPhone? Because they can track where you are, what you're looking at, what you do.
Well, look, I can sit here and become the Unabomber and sit in a cave and use a typewriter and shit, but I have to play the game to some level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I know it has a tracking device on it and shit. I don't like any of this, but it, like, I try to not... I didn't want to get a flat screen TV, but then they're like, well, everyone else got one. We're changing the signal. I mean, what? I have to go with it or else I just become that screaming at people.
I love that you reluctantly do this stuff. Do you
and a lot of people, because I trash Steve Jobs, say, oh, but you have an iPhone. I like the products. My angle of making fun of him is that he didn't sit there by himself.
Yes. You did this on Conan.
The bit's a lot longer. I'm actually going to burn the bit on Comedy Central next week on that Night of Too Many Stars.
Night of Too Many Stars?
There's too many stars, everybody.
Is that like, fundraiser or something?
Yes, that's the redeeming thing.
Okay.
But this, evidently there's going to be too many. I don't know.
What's the money go through?
I'll definitely be standing outside the building waiting to get in because there's just going to be too many stars.
So many stars, guys.
Too many.
Oh, man. And what does the money go towards? You know?
I don't know.
But you're gonna do the Jobs bit.
Yeah,
yeah, that was really funny. You did that on the part of it.
Yeah, I sort of touched on it.
Yeah, yeah, on Conan, and we were a big fan too. I don't even know if we're allowed to talk about this, of your rant.
Oh my gosh!
Your nerd rant, is that a popular topic amongst your listeners? That was a hot video.
That one kind of came and went.
Yeah, but that was very.
I also made fun of male breast cancer.
Really?
On that podcast. Yeah, for some reason, nobody brought that one up.
You had a lot of reactions from the
yeah,
nerds.
But dude, I mean, I wasn't like totally like saying you shouldn't be an alt comic. I'm not saying that, but just somebody brought it up.
Yeah.
That was the question that was asked. I got to keep it funny.
Yeah.
So I made fun of it. There's some truths in what I was saying, but it's not 100% true.
I know.
I mean, come on.
It was still...
Come on, Tom, look at me. I mean, come on. We can't
be fired
just...
up. He's
sitting
up.
We can't just be closing off. That's like saying like an entire type of style of music is not valid.
You said you wanted
Tom, that would be crazy talk.
You said you wanted to fucking fight those guys. You said you wanted to fucking...
I'll fight all of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right,
I wish you would.
Do you have a couple for him?
Oh, would you? Yeah, let's do it.
We're gonna close this out.
A fun game.
This is fun. You'll enjoy this. All right.
All right. We got some would you rathers submitted from listeners.
You guys can submit your would you rathers.
I love this Cosby remix.
You like
this one? Yeah,
it's a good one, huh?
It's actually kind of a jam, huh?
Your mom's podcast.
Drum sound good.
At gmail.com. This is a nice mix.
Bass drum. Kick drum sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good. TK from Calgary. What's up, man?
Oh, that's just, oh, good.
From the Dragonfly Squad. Yeah. Some shit like that. Your mom's podcast at gmail.com. Submit them. What do you have today?
Okay, this one's submitted from by Tony Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Tony!
What's up, Tom?
What up?
He's in Germany trying to sleep.
Okay.
And he
is
wrote
on a
this.
Bass, or is he... There's no German named sick. Tony. He's got to be in a...
Yeah, he's an American.
Wolfgang and Tony.
So, would you rather be forced to choke yourself to death with your own hands, no matter how difficult that might be? No getting out of it.
That sucks. Yeah.
Like in Full Metal Jacket, right?
Okay.
Choke yourself.
Choke yourself.
Or be forced to punch all your own teeth out and have them replaced with disgusting hobo dentures.
Fuck, man. I think...
I don't think you can. Your
That's
body prevents
one.
You from being able to.
Well,
an easy
the one. Thing is that, like, the, you know,
That's
choking yourself
one.
Out.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to choke yourself out even when you say there's no way out versus.
You'd pass out.
You just pass out.
You pass out. It's perfect. It's just like a submission.
But how do
but,
you.
But to death.
Get to
it says to death.
To death.
No, it's impossible. That's like trying to hold your breath until you.
Yeah.
This guy should have done some research.
How do you. How do you. Even get to the point of passing out, choking yourself. Like, doesn't your own involuntary,
your instinct stop
yeah, you know,
you, right?
reflex stop you from that?
Do you know? Do you know who could punch their own teeth out?
Who?
Les Steckel.
Les Steckel.
That's
Who's
for
that?
NFL fans. He was the Vikings coach for a minute, and he got all amped up during one speech, trying to get them all fired up for a game, and he punched himself in the mouth.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. He used to do the training camp with them. He would go through the obstacles with them. He was just Jesus. Yeah. He was a maniac.
Oh, and also I should point out that
you realize the courage that takes.
That takes a lot of courage. Yeah. I think it was you guys let us know that Jackie Sherrill, Mississippi State, old coach. Let's see. I think it is.
What is your connection with Mississippi State? You got a picture of somebody?
No, that's
the...
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, my sister went to Ole Miss. My grandparents went to Ole Miss.
And where are you from? SEC country?
Florida.
You are. Are you a Gators fan?
No, Seminole fan.
Seminoles, Tallahassee.
Right. So that's why I fucking hate the Gators. So when the Gators lost to Ole Miss, when my sister was there, it was a huge celebration.
That's awesome. I'm going to LSU, Alabama coming up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
That's how I book the road, dude. That's how you do it.
Really?
Yeah, I'll shoot some, I don't know, shoot some water moccasins with some Creole people, right? I'll go down to the French Bistro, whatever, Basin Street, whatever the fuck it is. I'll just do some shit down
is
there. I'm
it,
sorry.
Is it Baton Rouge, the game?
Yeah, no, it's the real deal. It's at their college. It's a night game. It's
at LSU.
Be the shit.
Oh,
it better not be at the Superdome. It better
no,
not
no.
be.
It's going to be...
Tom, I'll walk off your podcast if it is.
It's going to be... It's going to be Tiger
Death
Stadium.
Battle,
yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, I want that
there
shit.
There is nothing like that. That's going to be amazing,
That's
man.
What I want to see.
Fuck.
Does your lady like the football and stuff?
No.
She
likes the grass. She likes, you know, looking at the field. She says it's beautiful. She likes the social aspects, the drinking, everything. But always by the first half, she's like, and I'm bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But she does get into – she likes hoop. She does get into basketball.
You said you'd go to a basketball game with me.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Lakers once in my life.
Ugh. Yeah.
Thing is, I'm from here.
Ugh.
Never seen it before.
Celtics
disdain.
Fan here.
Oh, okay.
I'm not – they're all just becoming pile-on teams like baseball.
Yeah.
Hey, what if we all got together and got on the same team?
People don't
then
understand.
Then we would be like Larry and Magic? No, you wouldn't.
People don't understand how fucking exciting college football games are. Going to the games are... For me, I've been to a number of them.
It makes professional sports look like a joke.
It does. It
professional
does,
sports
man.
Is like new money. Like, did you ever watch that documentary on Michigan, Ohio State on HBO?
Yeah.
It's one of the sickest things ever. And it made the Yankees Red Sox rivalry look like child's play there, Tom. Child's play.
People that don't there's NFL fans that won't even give me the time of day when I try to tell them about how fucking great these college rivalries
what
and
do
games
you,
are.
You, do you just like the drama, the interpersonal
you know,
dramas?
The
and
rivalries,
stuff?
The drama. You get to, I don't know. You there's something
it's,
about
it's first of all. It's 100,000 people plus going nuts. Most professional football teams are what, 60,000 to 70,000?
60,000 to 70,000
usually. Yeah. So already it's like 40% bigger in my math.
Huge.
In my world, right? Yeah. I went 40.
Huge.
Yeah. Like standing in Michigan Stadium during a Michigan Ohio State when one side yells go and the other side yells blue and they're like, would dug into the ground this stadium. It's the sickest
110,000 people at the game.
In unison.
Mm.
Yeah.
Completing a sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like that on the
Come
pro
on.
Level.
Mm. Give it up. Back to, okay, before I get, I just wanted to make this point. I know we're jumping all over the place. We're talking about.
Yeah, what's your answer
well,
for guys?
No. We were talking about the coach punching his teeth out. And
right.
We had Huck on. We talked about which coach had a bull castrated during spring football. And it was, in fact, you guys let us know that it was Jackie Sherrill at Mississippi State who in spring ball had a bull castrated in front of the team.
to hype them when they were going to play Texas?
Just spring ball. Just like, hey, man, this is some shit right here. I don't fucking know.
Why did he do that?
It doesn't really go into why he did it.
Did
see.
They eat the balls
oh, you know
to,
what?
To gain
you know
the
what?
Spirit
right.
of the bull?
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was prior to getting to Texas. That's who it was.
You know something? You know, dude, that fucking guy... He ought to be taken to, was it Madrid? Where the fuck did he do the running of the bulls?
That's in Pamplona in Spain, yes.
Pamplona, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
take him there.
Unranked Mississippi State did beat the 13th-ranked Longhorns.
Did a cow have to lose its balls?
I don't know, but that's what he did. It makes me really happy. It's so crazy to do that.
What?
It's insane.
Why would it make you happy?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen a bull?
Yes.
A real one? It's pathetic where they are in society.
Yeah, yeah.
They're everything you want to be as a man.
Yeah.
They don't have a fucking ounce of fear. They are just jacked.
Yeah.
I swear, like a python. A python could not choke up. This will start a fucking like Hulk versus Iron Man debate. Yeah. A python, I'm going to say a Burmese python, could not choke a fucking bull.
I don't know, man.
That fucking neck.
They're unbelievable.
They take down like gazelles and shit, but not a bull.
Now, by the way, it makes much more sense. I can't believe I didn't put that together. It was the week they were playing the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, why else?
I thought he was just doing it as like some crazy fucking coach shit.
Let me tell you something. They think they know how to play ball out there in the Big 12. It's the SEC. Alabama. Yeah. Auburn.
That's right.
LSU.
Georgia.
Florida. South Carolina. And even Vanderbilt. Them smart motherfuckers. They're going to come in here with their big hats and their boots, fucking our women. This stops right now. And what is the bull? Like, how much did they have that thing drugged up or tied down?
Fuck, I don't know, man.
That is the worst fucking thing. I saw a bull get out of its, I don't know, wherever the fuck it was supposed to be. I was driving somewhere in Arizona.
Yeah.
And there was two real live cowboys.
Yeah.
On fucking horses, the hats, the chaps, everything. This wasn't gay. I know gay people took chaps, but these guys were on horses trying to rope a fucking bull, right? So they one was fucking distracting the bull, and I swear to God, the other guy's on his horse, and the horse is is part of the conspiracy. The horse is literally sneaking up behind. I don't know what the fuck they were going to do with this thing.
Yeah.
But the bull, when all of a sudden, heard their horse. When it fucking turned around, you know that look Bruce Willis does in Die Hard when he looks over his shoulder?
Yeah,
it was like that at the bull level.
Jesus Christ.
I got scared. I was driving by in a car, and I got going, that thing is going to knock out that horse into my fucking car.
I can't believe, have you ever watched Colorado play, the Buffalo, like University of Colorado?
Oh, when they run with that buffalo?
I can't believe not one time that fucking thing has not just like trampled the cheerleading squad or some shit, like, or like a bunch of kids.
They run
across the entire foot with a fucking buffalo.
On a leash.
With a head of steam.
Yeah. On a leash.
With four assholes on either side of it.
And it's like, you know, 70,000 people screaming, going nuts.
Yeah.
This thing's like, what the fuck? We got to run. Is probably thinking there's some sort of danger.
Absolutely.
If you get in its path, there has to be something. Like, that's incredible.
It's going to be. Hopefully, in the next couple of years, we'll see something there.
I hope
probably
so.
Like two roided upperclassmen in the classic half a bull suit.
Exactly.
Holding his waist and running.
Absolutely. I would choose, back to the would you rather.
Yeah, yeah. You got to pick one.
I'm definitely not knocking all my teeth out. Fuck that. But I don't want to die. He has to.
But the option is death or knock your teeth out and get hobo dentures. That's the option.
Okay. If the option is death, I'm rocking hobo dentures. And then, obviously. I'm not going to die.
Aren't you just rocking old dentures? They don't make dentures specifically for hobos.
What could you tell the dentist that you want them?
Like wooden ones?
Like, hey, man, could you make me hobo teeth? Like, couldn't you request them?
Yeah, like
I think you could go on eBay. I imagine somebody selling some old dentures.
Yeah.
And you get unbelievable sores on the roof of your mouth because it wouldn't be cut to your palate.
Mm.
Who worked in a dental office? Mm. I did.
Do you take care of your teeth pretty well?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Do you shower? The fuck kind of question
is
that?
We don't know, but I don't know if you're scared of the dentist or the x-rays and the tools.
Every 6 months.
Do you have a lot of cavities?
No, I don't have any cavities.
You do
none?
Really
none.
Nice teeth.
No, it's like changing your oil every fucking 6 months. It's a joke. And if you ever go in there and somebody goes, oh, you need like seven cavities.
Yeah.
You have seven cavities. Fuck that. You go to another dentist.
That's what we did.
And you it's happened to me, man.
Because
it's happened to me.
It's the same way there's good and bad comedians.
Yep.
There's some comedians who just do it for the pussy or try to do it because they want to get famous. There's dentists that don't have that. They ain't got their mind right.
That's
true.
They want to take a cruise and you're paying for it.
I ran into myself, man. I've had it. The guy was like, you got nine cavities. I said, what? I went to another dentist, and he was like,
If you ever have a dentist say you got nine cavities, look him in the eye and say, what car did you just buy?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how big is the house you just bought? The fuck out of here, nine cavities and my teeth aren't hurting me?
Yeah.
Huh? Why don't you take another look there? Not really a doctor.
Fired up.
Fired up bird. All right, what do you got? You got another one?
Yeah. This one is from Stephanie and Mike. If you were able to take anything from your house that you could carry on your back, no electronics, would you rather be dropped off in the Serengeti or in the most remote part of Alaska? So it's either hot or cold, and you can't take any electronics, and you can carry what you can carry is only on your back.
You can take anything that's not electronic?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I know that I'm not going to I mean, both of them are going to be miserable. I'm not going to do the heat. I'm not going to do the fucking desert. I'm going to do the cold.
Now you got to figure out what you would rather get mauled by.
Right. Mm. Yeah, exactly. What type of death?
I'm going you're going wolf, mountain lion, bear. Or grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm taking the bear.
We know.
I want a bear death. You know, it's a good story. Makes CNN probably.
You know what? I'm going to take the Serengeti because I've been to like hot parts. Well, not all parts are hot of Africa. And I've seen how they deal with it. You just sit under a tree in the shade until like a certain time of day passes. And then you can kind of live a little bit of a life. So I'm going to take the Serengeti.
Until a leopard, a cheetah.
Yeah.
A lion. There's no tigers out there, right? Tigers are in Asia.
Asia, yeah, exactly. Asia. And by the way, the animal argument, people bring up tiger, lion, just in case anybody's wondering, there is no argument there. Tiger is a fucking far more superior predator. It would absolutely murder a lion without even putting in any effort to it.
Okay.
It's not even a debate.
What do you think?
I've seen over in Asia, they actually put them in the same thing, and it's disgusting to watch. And, you know, that's an epic battle.
Epic battle?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's the tigers are faster, more powerful.
Well, they outweigh them.
Which does? The tiger?
Tigers do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bengal tiger.
But I mean, a tiger...
I'm just going to throw numbers out. Bengal tiger weighs about 900 pounds, where a lion weighs about 600 pounds.
Tigers are solo hunters. They're predators.
You ever get scratched by a fucking house cat?
Yeah. I have, yes.
How horrific that hurts. Can you imagine a lion or a tiger, like...
No.
Have you ever seen that one where the guy's on the elephant? That thing comes up out of the brush like fucking Jordan, right?
Yeah.
and that guy has permanent nerve damage. Yeah. It looked like he barely got him.
Yeah, I know.
Barely got him. But that was just like, yeah, that's like five kitchen knives. It's like Freddy Krueger on every hand.
Are you saying that a lion would defeat a tiger, though? Is that what you're saying? In a battle?
Look, I've watched enough sports to know that on any given day, anything can happen, but
you don't know which team's going to show up.
Just from the side, yeah.
You don't know which.
I'll tell you, if I'm the lion, I got to wonder which lion's going to show up.
That's right.
I think the tiger would win. You know, this is as a comedian, and no wildlife background,
right?
According to my YouTube research.
And where would you rather be? Would you take the Alaska Serengeti, and what would you take with you?
No, I would go Alaska, and I would try to freeze to death.
You would,
yeah.
As opposed
to mentally just focusing on it, letting it happen.
Letting it happen.
I would put more snow down my front. I just don't want to get mauled.
By like a wolf or a mountain lion or a bear.
A wolf would be worse. A wolf is getting killed by a dog. Like a fucking grizzly bear is going to come up and that shit is going to be over and it's going to be over quick.
Yeah.
Mountain lion's another motherfucker. You know what sucks? It's going to end with your face ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
The bear, you know, can one swipe like a brown bear, you know, 9 feet tall, swipe of that paw can take your head clear. They can decapitate you with one of those. So
it's a bear.
Yeah,
it is.
Sure. I would take Alaska.
You know, if it's a panda, you can take a couple of jabs. But you know, one of those Alaskan bears, like
what I'm struggling with though.
What?
What I would take with me?
You'd have to take cover.
Take cover.
Water, some essentials.
On your back.
Matches.
Right.
Yeah, like survival shit.
I would buy a North Face onesie.
Mm-hmm.
Zip up that had the feets on it and everything.
Okay,
North Face onesie is a good way to go.
Onesie, and then I would grab my gun and all my bullets that I don't own.
Yep.
And that would be it.
What would you take to the Serengeti?
Snowshoes.
Water as much as I could. Something
water.
To eat.
Cream.
Bunch of water.
Bunch of sunblock.
Some Gatorade.
Maybe some, yeah, you gotta hydrate.
Gotta hydrate.
Yeah, take a backpack with some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, survival shit.
All right, well,
survival
there you
shit.
Go.
Just wave it around. You know, bears actually get the concept of guns.
Bill, they're bears.
No,
that's why they stand up and they have their hands up. It's like, all right.
No.
That's true.
Where did you hear this one?
I saw it on the internet. It looked a little maybe photoshopped, but I think the essential point was there.
Bears are amazing fucking animals.
They are. They'll eat anything. They'll eat car seats and just
I love that
right
video more than anything. They said that bears, you know, their instinct is just consume all the time. So they have a minivan parked out, like, I don't know, in Wyoming. And these two bears, like, kind of like walk around it. They go inside.
See how he looks like one when he does it?
They just are like, what the fuck is this?
Like
they go inside the minivan. They just eat. They just start eating the seats. And like
that's because fat people owned the van and all the shit that fell down between their legs. probably already had like a salty, ketchupy taste.
They ate all the seats.
That's a good point.
They ate like the steering wheel. They ate like the fucking rearview mirror. Then they throw up in the van. And like the narrative is like, he just realized that that wasn't food. Like, it took him like eating fucking cloth, carpet, all this shit, being like on his body. Like, oh, that's not food.
Yeah. Hey, if you ever have Harland. Harlan Williams, yeah. If you ever have him on, from Harlan Highway. He's got a great story. He's got some great bear stories.
Oh, he's Canadian.
He used to be a park ranger.
Did he really?
He's got some fucking hilarious stories.
Oh, yeah, we got to get Harlan.
We got to get him on. Okay. Oh, by the way, also, the fact that their fat asses were in the seat, it was warm, so they probably thought it was like some sort of vinyl mammal.
Now we understand that video so much better.
That's right.
All right, well... Thank you for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Very funny. Thank you guys for
vaguely telling me where you live.
Oh, yeah.
Did you give him shitty directions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to out where the hell you live, but
yeah,
it's
I gave him the address, but I didn't like go into. Like,
you didn't tell me the labyrinth that I had to walk.
Yeah.
It's a little.
Well, you know,
path.
I wanted to make nuts. Him. I mean, you know, he's got a big head. I don't want to fucking.
I know.
So. Hey, so
should have finished that insult. You trailed off. He's got a big head. I don't know. Who is Kim Deal?
Hello, hey. The Pixies. Do you like the Pixies? They started.
I should
in,
like them if I was more cultured.
They started
I should
in
like
Boston,
them.
Actually.
Okay.
And I'm a huge fan of Kim Deal.
There you go.
Breeders.
There you go.
She lives around here too. I see her sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Hey, easy guys, easy. Yeah. Let's you know, let's try to keep stalkers. You
all
know?
Right, Bel Air, fucking come and get us. So hey, you know, as I'll mention it again, go to allthingscomedy.com. It's the new site that we're going to be a part of. Check out Bill's special.
My special is now it's available now for download.
Yeah, at BillBurr.com.
$5 a whack. Bill Burr. BURR.
BURR.com. BillBurr.com.
On the merch page.
Merch. I got merch, guys.
Guys, I got merch.
Got merch. I brought my backpack with my merch.
Hey, remember that joke I did? I wrote the last half of it on a t-shirt. If you want that. If you want to get a photo, that'll be $3.
Got shot glasses. Got stickers. Come and get it, guys.
That's called the feature act.
The feature act. Yeah.
Feature act brings a whole goddamn store.
Yeah. I've got his own
line of chapstick.
Fucking... I've done shows where you get off stage and you walk out to like the lobby, the bar area, and the feature act has two tables set up.
Yeah,
and he's what's up, man? And fucking just, it's just a.
And you know what you should do just once, just for the story?
Bag
just
it up?
Tip it over. Just tip over one of them and laugh at him.
I like
and then
that.
Don't sell anything and let the whole crowd walk by as he tries to put his store back
together.
And just keep tipping it over.
I like that Ian, our buddy Ian, just goes, pack it up. And they're like, what? He's like, pack it up. Like, you can't sell your shit.
That's what he says?
Yeah.
Oh, someone was complaining about him on the road. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
It's so funny. I love that Ian. I don't have...
Why does he do that?
Because he's like, no. Like, it's my show. People came to see me.
It is really true. And I remember when I was featuring, like, you couldn't be like make a living featuring.
Yeah.
You had to get to be a headliner. These guys, like, I would never do that to somebody.
Exactly. But if
somebody opened for me and they had an entire fucking store, I would have to at some point at least kick the leg out one time. And just look, you got a CD. If you have something like, you know, comedy, like a CD or just some bullshit like that. If you sell a t-shirt, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But when you go out there, and you got like, you know.
Options. You have multiple.
Oven mitts.
And then the last 10 minutes of their act is peddling the
their
t-shirt
store.
Or whatever.
I had a guy finish his set, got the applause break, right? I'm done. Thank you. And then he pitched his merch, but it was like a 7-minute set. Like he did 7 extra minutes of.
Did you trash him?
No, I didn't.
And that's what's wrong.
I know. I should have.
With what? Yeah, you should have gone up there. And then after that, just be like, listen, dude, you want to sell shit? Go ahead and sell shit. But do your infomercial as people are walking out. You're cutting into my time.
I know.
All right?
It was so... I'll fucking tell you more about it. It's so uncomfortable what really happened.
Yeah, because you're afraid. You're afraid of confrontation. I just saw it the way you rubbed your nose and you looked down. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
No, you got to get over that.
I'm afraid of confrontation, too.
Well, get good at it.
I don't like it.
Get good at it. Life's a confrontation. Then I punch myself in the mouth, and then that's the end.
Knock your teeth out.
See ya.
Next episode, I know you guys, our listeners, want to know. We've been talking about her, so I just want you to know that our next episode, we got my sister, Maria,
Very exciting.
Yeah, so he's, you know, just let you know it's really going to happen.
A bomb vest on, like, blow myself up because I'm basically on that path with a lifestyle I lead, which is a very fucking healthy lifestyle, if you ask me. I'm sorry, you know, what was her lifestyle? She's sitting around fucking eating, you know, ding-dong pastries all day long, smokes a cigarette every day, drinks champagne, caffeine, doesn't work out, plays bridge. Wow. Let's really compare lifestyles. I think mine's pretty fucking healthy.
Okay, so you're going to get the full fucking treatment on our next episode. That is Maria that you guys have been waiting to hear. She's there. That's our show. Thank you, Bill Burr, for
coming
by.
I'll be selling merch out in your living room at the end of this.
I want to talk to you about that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.